Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson, and we're aiming for a very specific drum and bass moment, that pre-drop fill that makes people reach for the rewind. Today's concept is the glue jungle fill. Think of it as the last half bar to two bars before the drop, where the whole record snaps into one coherent impact. Not just louder, locked. Breaks get tight, the sub stays stable, the high end gets whooshed into place, and the master feels like it grabs the mix and sets it down right on the one. And the big mindset shift for this lesson. Think drop translation, not fill hype. The fill is not the main character. The drop is. Your fill's job is to prepare the master for impact by controlling peaks, tightening sustain, and steering the spectrum, so the downbeat lands clean. If the fill is the most intense, loudest moment in the last two bars, you just spent the impact budget early. All right, let's build it. First, quick session setup. Set your tempo to drum and bass territory. 170 to 176 BPM. I'll use 174. Make sure you're not mixing everything into one drum track. You want separation, a kick and snare bus and a break bus, at minimum. Then group your drums into a drums group. Group your bass, synths, and atmos into a music group. And keep your sub on its own track. Literally called a sub if you want to be neat about it. That's not bureaucracy. That's power. Because we're going to automate glue moves at the group level while the sub stays boring, stable, and deadly. Now step 1. Build the jungle fill. Arrangement first. Pick a 1-bar region immediately before the drop. 1 bar is a sweet spot. Enough time for tension, short enough to stay punchy. Start with the core. A break slice fill. Duplicate your main break clip into that bar right before the drop. Go into clip view and set warp mode to beats. Preserve at 1/16 for tight edits, or 1/32 if you're going for micro chatter. Make sure transient loop mode is forward so it doesn't do weird reverse-ish artifacts. Now slice it. You've got two main workflows. You can split the audio on the grid and rearrange, or you can slice to a drum rack. If you choose drum rack, right-click the clip, slice to new MIDI track, pick slice to drum rack, and slice by transients for a natural jungle feel, or 1/16 if you want strict grid control. Here's the advanced feel tip. Don't iron it flat. Jungle swing is in the imperfections. Keep a couple ghost hits slightly late, like 5 to 15 milliseconds. And if you want extra tension, push one or two tiny hits slightly early, like 1 to 5 milliseconds, so it feels like the groove is leaning forward then resolves when the drop hits perfectly on the grid. Now add the moment that makes the drop sound twice as big. The suck in vacuum. Right before the drop, last 8th note or even just the last 16th, create actual space. Mute a hat, remove a snare, or do a hard cut. My go-to is, cut basically everything on the last 1/16 before the drop, and leave only a tiny controlled tail element if you want a cue. That micro silence is contrast. And contrast is king. Constant sound equals no rewind. Cool. Now step 2. We're going to process the fill without wrecking the entire mix. Create a dedicated audio track called Fillbus. The idea is simple. During the fill only, we send some or all of the drums into this Fillbus chain. The rest of the song stays clean. A clean method is to make a return track called fill send, then automate the send amount so it only ramps up during the fill, and goes back to zero at the drop. If you want it extra controlled, route your drums group to sends only, and build your fill bus as the main destination for that temporary processing. But the key idea stays the same. The fill gets its own temporary tone and dynamics, without permanently changing your drum mix. Now step 3. The actual glue jungle fill device chain. All stock Ableton devices. First device, EQ8, pre-cleanup. High pass at about 30 to 40 HC with a steep slope. This is crucial. You're not inviting sub chaos into your fill bus. If it gets boxy, dip around 250 to 400 HC by 1 to 3 dB. If you want a bit more air, a gentle high shelf at 8 to 12 kHz, maybe plus 1 or 2 dB. Keep it tasteful. This is a bus. Second device, drum bus for punch and density. Drive around 3 to 8%. Crunch stays low, like 0 to 10%. Boom is usually off on this bus. If your fill has no weight, you can try a little, but it's risky right before a drop because it can mess with the master. Transients. This is your snap control. Plus 5 up to plus 20 depending on the break. Damp around 3 to 8 kHz to keep harshness contained. And level match the output. Do not win with volume yet. Third device, glue compressor. This is the literal glue. Attack around 3 milliseconds. Release on auto or manually around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1 or 4 to 1 if the break is wild. Pull the threshold until you're seeing about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Soft clip on, makeup off. And here's a coaching move that changes everything. Set the release so the compressor recovers right on the downbeat. Loop the last bar before the drop and the first bar of the drop. Watch the gain reduction meter. Tweak release until the GR breathes out to near zero right before the drop hits. You're basically timing the exhale so the drop lands into a reset, not into ongoing compression. Fourth device. Saturator for harmonic forwardness. Mode to analog clip. Drive 1 to 4 dB. Soft clip on. And again. Level match. If you don't level match, you'll think you made it better when you just made it louder. Fifth device. Auto filter. This is the rewind magnet. This is the tension steering. Use a low pass 24 dB filter. Resonance around 10 to 25%. Drive 0 to 6 dB if you want a little edge. Automate the cutoff across the fill. Start fairly open, like 12 to 16 kHz. As the fill progresses, ramp it down to maybe 1.5 to 4 kHz. Then, in the last 16th before the drop, snap it fully open or bypass it. That snap is the release. It's the suction cup let-go moment that makes the drop feel like it arrives in 3D. And be careful. Don't sweep it so low that you end at 200 to 500 Hz, because then you delete all excitement and the drop can feel disconnected, like the song restarted. We want tension, not a blanket over the mix. Sixth device, limiter, but only as safety. Ceiling at minus 0.8 dB. Gain at zero. It should only catch weird peaks. If it's doing real work, something earlier is too hot. At this point, your fill should sound like a cohesive object, not a bunch of slices, but one guided, controlled event leading into impact. Now step 4, the drop impact transition. This is the part most people miss, because they obsess over the fill and forget the master's behavior on the drop. Substability first. On your SUB track, put utility. Turn bass mono on. Set width to 0%, or at least ensure everything below about 120 Hz is effectively mono. Then add a compressor sidechained from the kick, or the kick and snare bus. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 0.5 to 3 milliseconds. Release 60 to 140 milliseconds. Set it to groove with the tempo. You're aiming for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. This keeps the drop from feeling smaller due to low-end bloom and master pumping. If needed, EQ 8 to tame a resonance. Often it's somewhere around 45 to 70 Hz. If a certain note blooms and makes the limiter react, it will steal punch from your snare. Fix that at the source. Now step 5, a master chain that glues without flattening drums. Again, stock devices. Start with EQ 8, but surgical only. High pass at 20 to 25 Hz. If the mix is cloudy, a tiny dip at 250 to 350 Hz, like half a dB to 1.5 max. If it's harsh, a gentle dip around 3 to 6 kHz, again half to 1 dB. Don't carve, nudge. Then glue compressor on the master. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 ms so you preserve punch. Release auto. Set threshold, so you're only getting about 0.5 to 1.5 dB of gain reduction in the loudest drop moments. Soft clip on. Optional saturator after that. Very light. Soft sine or analog clip. Drive 0.5 to 2 dB. Soft clip on. If your drums already have character on the bus, be conservative here. Then limiter as your final loudness stage. Ceiling at minus 1.0 dB for a good punch safe target. Push gain until the drop feels excited, but the snare still cracks. Not papery, not folded. Modern aggressive DNB can land around minus 6 to minus 8 LUFS integrated, but the track decides. Don't chase a number into a broken transient. Now the crucial move. Automate the limiter input gain down during the fill, then return it at the drop. We're talking small. 0.3 to 0.8 dB lower during the fill. That's it, because perceived impact is contrast. If the fill is slightly held back and the drop returns to normal, the drop feels like it expands, even if peak level barely changes. Step 6. Your automation map, the secret sauce. On the fill bus, automate the auto filter cutoff sweep. Optionally, automate the glue threshold for slightly more compression during the fill only. Optionally, bump saturator drive by half a dB to 1.5 dB during the fill, but only if it doesn't start sounding like fuzz. On the drums group, automate a tiny gain dip during the fill, like minus 0.5 to minus 2 dB. That's the lean back. Also consider a small reverb send burst on one snare hit as a cue, but do not smear the reset. If you use reverb, gate it or high pass it hard. A great chain is reverb into a Q8 with a high pass at 250 to 400 HC, then a gate. The drop transient should land on clean air, not on a wash. On the master, automate that limiter input gain dip during the fill, back up at the drop. And a quick advanced stereo trick you can steal right now. On the fill bus, put utility and automate width. Go from around 90 to 110% down to 0 to 30% right before the drop. Then snap back to your normal width exactly at the drop. Narrow then snap. The drop feels wider without you adding anything. Now let's do two quick validation checks, because advanced production is not just vibes, it's proof. Put spectrum on the master, and watch 40 to 120 HC during the fill. That area should stay relatively steady. The movement should mostly be mids and highs. If your low end is doing random humps, your master is going to react unpredictably and you'll lose punch. Second, compare peak levels. Use a peak meter and look at the last eighth note before the drop versus the first kick and snare after. Ideally, the drop feels bigger even if peaks are similar. That's the illusion working. Before we wrap, common mistakes to avoid. If you overcompress the fill bus, like 5 to 8 dB of gain reduction, the fill becomes pinned. Then the drop arrives and nothing. It feels smaller. If you let the sub participate in the fill chaos, the master pumps wrong. The fill should dance above the sub. Keep the sub stable and boring. If you sweep the low pass too low, you delete excitement. The drop feels like it teleported. And if your snare doesn't crack before the limiter, it won't crack after the limiter. Fix the drum tone and transient shape upstream.